Hebrews chapter 7, verses 20 through 28. This is the second part of this section. Verses 11 through 28 present to us the principles of perfection. The principles of perfection. We're going to begin our reading at verse 20, going down through verse 28. Hebrews 7:20. And according as, much as, not without swearing of an oath, indicating he became priest. For on the one hand, the ones who had become priests are without the swearing of an oath. But he, with the swearing of an oath, through the one saying to him, the Lord swore and will not change his mind. The word relent or even repent in some of the English translations, metamelomai, means to change the mind. It is not the same word repentance, metanoeo, meaning to turn to Christ. God never repents. In this instance also, he will not change his mind. You are a priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek. According to such things, Jesus has become surety, or a pledge, or more literal, a guarantee of a better covenant. And the ones, on the one hand, having become priests, that are many, on account of they were prevented by death to continue. But he, on account of he remains forever, has a priesthood without end. Wherefore also he is able to save completely, meaning in time, completely to the end, the ones who are approaching through him to God, always living for the purpose to intercede on behalf of them. For such a high priest was fitting for us, who is holy, without evil, without defilement, having been separated from the sinners, and having become higher than the heavens, who does not have, day after day, a necessity to offer up sacrifices, as indeed the priests, who first offer up sacrifices on behalf of their own sins, then after that they offer up on behalf of the sins of the people. For this he did once for all, having offered up himself. For the law appointed men priests having weakness, but the word of the swearing of an oath, which was after the law, has established the Son, having been perfected forever. A little different type of book than we're used to in Luke, in the teachings of Christ. And yet all of the teachings in the Bible are the same. Man's normal human propensity is to move towards religion, to find our security in religion and religious ceremony. The book of Hebrews now is presenting for us our heritage. It is spiritual. It is by faith. The only church building that we look to is in heaven. It's the tabernacle in heaven where Jesus Christ is in the Holy of Holies interceding for us as our high priest. It is not here on the earth. It is not physical. It is not religious. It is by faith through Christ before the throne of God. Our church building, our church system, if you would call it that, is not here. It's not here on the earth. It's in heaven. Heaven just isn't a place where God dwells with His angels and all of His heavenly creatures that He has created. There is actually a function going on in heaven that is the very substance of the shadow of what we do right down here on the earth. And as we've been studying in the book of Luke, Gospel of Luke, people put their trust, their hope in their religious practice, that if they believe in God, if they go to church, that they've done all they can do and be good to their fellow man. They've done all they can do. Jesus talked about being a follower of Him. He called people to follow Him. We also trust Him in all that He does for us, not just at the cross, but even now, as our text says, that He lives forever to intercede for us on our behalf. We don't intercede for ourselves. Jesus intercedes for us. Romans chapter 8 also says the Holy Spirit intercedes for us here on the earth. The Holy Spirit lives in us. He intercedes for us. Jesus Christ is in the Holy of Holies in heaven, and He intercedes for us, representing us. So I have representation to God. So anything I do here on the earth, I can't present to God. I am not perfect. I can't even come into His presence. But Jesus can for me. And the Holy Spirit is with me. Through Him, we have access to God. Last week when we started this section, verses 11 through 28, this chapter all started back in verses 1 through 3 where it talked about the similarities between Melchizedek and the Son of God. Secondly, we saw in verses 4 through 10 the superiority of the priesthood of Melchizedek. It is superior to the priesthood of Aaron. It's a completely different priesthood. It's from a Gentile. It's not according to the law. So we saw the principles of perfection last week. We studied two of them. We studied the third one today. In verse 11, there had to be a change in the priesthood. Because the Levitical priesthood under the law is imperfect. Couldn't save anybody. It could cover sins, but it could not forgive sins. Because of that, there was a necessity to change the priesthood. Secondly, in verses 12 through 19, there also had to be a change in the law. There had to be a change in the law. The law, if you followed the law perfectly, like the man this morning in the Gospel of Luke, if you followed the law perfectly, you still could not be saved. You would have to be perfect like God. But James 2:10 tells us that if you violate one law, you violated it all. Because the law represents God's holiness. We don't break laws, we sin against God and His holiness. So we would have to be perfect like God in order to get into heaven on our own merits. If we fall short of God's holiness, then we are sinners. That's what hamartia means. That's what sinner means. And somebody that has fallen short of the glory of God. So, there was a change in priesthood and there was a change in the law. The new law was the power of God. I am saved by the power of God. He saves me. That's the law. It's spiritual. It's not legalistic. Yet it is a spiritual law. Today we want to focus in verses 20 through 28. There also has to be a change in the promises. Change in the priesthood, change in the law, and there had to be a change in the promises. You see, the law, and under the Levitical priesthood, offered no eternal life. You can't be saved if you kept the law perfectly. which Paul says he did. He says, according to the law, I was blameless. That is to say, every time that he committed a breaking of God's law, he would offer the sacrifice in the temple for that sin, for the breaking of the law. That's all you could do in the old covenant. You break a law, you offer your sacrifice for the breaking of that law. And you're constantly doing it. I'm constantly breaking God's law, and I'm constantly presenting a sacrifice for that violation. It's constant. Never ends. Nobody's ever saved that way. But there's a change in the promises. Our eternity has been made perfect by the eternal perfection of Jesus Christ. He is the one who is perfect. Verses 20 and 21, first of all, the swearing of an oath. Verse 20 says that it was not apart from the swearing of an oath that he became a priest. That is Jesus Christ. Now others, notice the men death situation in contrast. The ones who became priests under the Levitical law, under the Old Testament, under the Old Covenant, they became a priest because of the law, not because of any oath. God never took an oath and made them high priests. Through the law, he said the Levites had to serve in the priesthood. And the family of Aaron within the Levitical tribe would serve as high priests. That's God's law. They were not appointed by the swearing of an oath. But verse 21 says, but in contrast, he, Christ, became priest by the swearing of an oath through the one who was saying to him, here we go with our quote of Psalm 110 verse 4 again, the Lord swore, that is, took an oath, and he will not change his mind. You are a priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek. The contrast in the two priesthoods is, again, you became a priest under law. Jesus Christ did not become a high priest in God's system by law. It's because God took an oath. And God swore by an oath that is recorded in Psalm 110:4, you are a priest forever. It's eternal, according to the order of Melchizedek. So he became a priest according to an oath, not according to the law. Because remember, there's a change in the law. We're dealing with a completely different system now. God's oath. When God takes an oath and places that oath upon Jesus Christ, when he says you'll be a priest forever, he's a priest forever. Secondly, verses 22 through 24, Jesus Christ has become a surety, a guarantee, if you will, of a better covenant. I cannot depend upon myself or anything that I can do that would be a guarantee of the better covenant. It cannot be based on me. It's based on Jesus Christ. Verse 22 says that Jesus became a guarantee, a surety of a better covenant. Again, we have a men-death situation here, a contrast in verses 23 and 24 as our example. On the one hand, in verse 23, the priests under the Levitical priesthood became many. There are lots of them in succession. One day I will no longer be ministering or pastoring in Sisquoc. Somebody else will come after. There was a group of people before me that pastored here. Any religious system has a temporary priesthood, has a temporary ministry, because human beings die. and they have to be replaced. So the emphasis is on account of death. They could not, they were prevented from continuing. But those priests became many. But in contrast, verse 24, he receives an eternal priesthood, a priesthood that is without end, because he never dies. He never has to be replaced. As long as Jesus Christ is alive, and as long as God's oath has been over him, he will be in the office of priesthood representing me before God forever. It will never end. Ever. Thirdly, salvation in verses 25 to 28, the ability to save. Verse 25 starts out with the word hothen, which means where, it's translated wherefore, and it means from which. That's what the Greek word means, hothen, from which. All that he's presented, the promises are based, our eternity is based on his ability to save us, adverb of time, all the way to the end, from now on. He says in verse 25 that he is able to save us completely. Some English texts say utterly. It's an adverb of time that means all the way to the end. All of time, complete time, from the beginning that we receive Jesus Christ all the way through eternity, he is able to completely save those who are approaching God and coming to him. Verse 26 says, for, showing the reason, it was fitting for him to become our high priest. The word fitting is prope, which is the word for proper. It's only proper that God would set up his son as our high priest. Notice these three things. He is holy. Hosios. He is holy before God. Secondly, he is without evil or corruption in relationship to man. Thirdly, he is without defilement as the sacrifice and priest. Then it says, after having been separated from the sinners and after having become higher than the heavens. So this is after the fact these three things take place. Yes, he was holy before. Yes, he was without evil before. Yes, he was undefiled before. But it says, after having been separated from sinners, he's apart from us. He was one of us. He was among us, but not one of us. He was perfect. He was holy, without blemish. And after he was made higher than the heavens, he is a high priest that was proper and fitting for us, because whatever God's requirements were for a human being to stand before God was in Jesus Christ. Whatever those requirements were. Those requirements were that God set up his standard of holiness and he said you have to be perfect. I can't meet those requirements. I would have to be equal to God. If I'm anything less, then I have fallen short and I'm a sinner. So God said, God looked at us, God the Father looked at us and says, whatever you need to be to stand in my presence, I'm going to make my son be that. So that through him, you can stand in my presence. You can't stand on your own. But he was fitting, he was proper, he was made just right with the right qualities and the right requirements to stand before God for you and me. Verse 27 says, again in contrast, who had no necessity to every day offer sacrifices like the Levitical priests, what they had to do is they had to offer a sacrifice, first of all, for their own sins, so that they would be acceptable and anything that they would present would be acceptable. They had to take care of their sins first. And then they would sacrifice for the sins of the people. Men called to be priests, they've been called with weaknesses and sin. But in contrast to that, Jesus, He made a sacrifice of Himself once and for all. The one sacrifice that He made covers everyone's sins. We don't have to keep sacrificing every day. He doesn't have to keep being sacrificed every day. Once and for all. We just got through celebrating communion this morning, and some people believe that, in fact, I've even heard it and read it, where ministers or priests would say that every time they take communion, the Lord is being crucified all over again. And we're celebrating, we're receiving Christ by taking the communion elements. The Bible says that Jesus died once, once for all. The one sacrifice that He made covers our sins. So it is interesting if you put your place, yourself, in the place of the religious person, the Jew, the Hebrew, functioning in the old law, the old covenant, in the Judaistic religious system, that even God's the one who planned and designed. Every day you're coming and you're giving your sacrifice to the priest and he's offering it up for you because you can't offer it up for yourself. You need someone to intercede. But he had to make himself holy first, acceptable, and so he offers the sacrifice for himself. Every day I'm going to the tabernacle. Every day I'm going to the temple and I'm offering sacrifices for all of the times that I have fallen short of God's holiness. And yet then I'm told the entire system that I'm involved in that God has planned and He designed, every animal sacrifice that I bring covers sins, but it doesn't cleanse sin. The sin is still there. It's just the animal sacrifice is a foreshadow of the sacrifice which is to come. The priest that I take my sacrifice to, he's just a representation of the high priest who's going to come and represent God. Every religious system here on the earth, every religious system, including Judaism, if you participate in it and base your faith upon it and your salvation upon it, you'll never be saved. And just as the Hebrew and the Jewish person is being told that if you leave following Jesus Christ as your high priest and your apostle, if you leave following Him and go back into a religious system because it's easier, at the end of the book of Hebrews He says, you also will come under the wrath of God. Because salvation is only in one. And today many people are receiving or accepting the Lord, as they call it, and then running back into a system, trying to get the best of both worlds. That's not being saved. To receive Jesus Christ means to surrender to Him. He is my high priest. There is no earthly person as my high priest. Jesus Christ is my high priest. There is no apostle on the face of this earth representing God to me. Jesus represents God to me. He is my high priest and He is my apostle and He is my confession that He is both of those to me. Some Hebrews and Jewish people couldn't make that confession. They couldn't say He is my own high priest, my own apostle. That my church are all believers everywhere, Jew and Gentile. But my church system, if you want to call it that, is in heaven. It's not here on the earth. My high priest is serving in the Holy of Holies. And it says, For the priests here, in verse 28, for the law appoints men in their weaknesses, but for the swearing of an oath that came after the law, it perfected the Son. The Son is the one who has been perfected and established as the high priest. You can't be perfect or perfected through a religious system. It's not perfect. I'm not perfect. No one is perfect. No system is perfect. He is ever interceding for me, the writer of Hebrews says, because he always lives. So as I, in my natural humanness, I approach life, I find a very interesting conflict going on. In my humanness, I want to be religious about my Christianity. But yet I have the Holy Spirit drawing me to Jesus Christ spiritually. I find that my flesh would feel more comfortable in a religious system. I even know people, in fact there is a person who used to pastor this church, who, after resigning for the pastorate, went into Judaism, quit his job, wore the yarmulke, had the prayer shawl, said his prayers every morning like the Jews, Orthodox Jews, didn't have time to go to work anymore because he had to pray. Lost his family, lost all of these things because he decided Christianity didn't work. So if you're going to join a religious system, go back to the original one started by God, Judaism. But even if you do that, it's not perfect. And it cannot perfect you or me. It's only through Jesus Christ. So he's presenting this to the Jews and the Hebrews, but it is also applicable to us. Because our propensity also is to reach back and try. It's just easier to be religious. It's just easier to go participate in a ceremony or in a service or a program. And just like we studied this morning, the reason why Jesus traveled the streets of the villages and the cities is because he didn't want to draw people into a religious relationship. He called people to come and follow him, be a follower of Christ. We function together as a family in the Lord. And yet, here in this church, here with this ministry, this isn't where it's at. Our ministry comes from heaven, from the spirit realm. Our ministry comes from the Spirit of God. Our relationship comes with the Spirit of Christ. Our representation to God is not our human works here on the earth, but our high priest who's interceding for us in heaven. Because he's eternal. He never ends. And he's been appointed by God with all the qualifications to satisfy God's requirements. This is what salvation as a gift is all about. This is what God has done for us. This is who the Lord is to us. And His Spirit is constantly pulling us heavenward into the spirit realm to live by faith, not to put our security in functioning in a religious system of some kind, even if it's Christian, but walking with Christ, seeking Him, allowing Him by His Spirit through His Word to change us and transform us to be the people that He would want us to be. That's what it's all about. Let's close with prayer. Our Heavenly Father, how thankful we are for Your love. And even though we sing the same doxology after study each Sunday, yet the words ring out even more true with more substance to it as we praise you for all the blessings, because each Sunday we learn more and more of the blessings that you have blessed us with. We praise God from whom all blessings flow, and from whom they come. We learn more and more of this free gift and of the depths of your work and representation through your Son for us. That even you coming to help us in our time of need is because Jesus is interceding for us. We thank you for that. We thank you for all of your love and all of your provision. We pray that it would humble us. Humble us to surrender our love to you because of your love for us. That we would, by your Spirit, seek you and serve you all the days of our life. We thank you for your faithfulness. We pray that your Spirit would go with us, minister to our hearts, and teach us what it means to follow you. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.